Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States.
You best not. We're going to war. We're going to. Hey, Trump, if we go to war, what do you think may happen?
He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. They will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen.
You know what would have been great? If he would have played from the movie Tombstone, the part where Kurt Russell's all, you tell him hell's coming. You tell him I'm coming. You tell him hell's coming with me. Something like that. That would have been great. We're not going to war, by the way. He's got many nuclears. He's not going to war. But he's got many nuclears, and he threatens us every day. But he knows that it ends. It ends fast. He just saw China and Russia vote on UN sanctions. He knows. We're not going to war. But he's a... What? We're not going to war. He knows the end. Look, he's not an evil genius, but he's not an idiot. He's not some madman. This isn't Lex Luthor we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a spoiled brat, and each new generation is worse than the other. Right? You had Grandpa, then you had Pops, now you got this guy. Each new one comes with its own issues. There you go. We're not going to war. It's not going to happen. Sorry. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Oddly enough, though, a lot of people think we should. Oddly enough, though, a lot of people think that, you know what? This is enough. This is enough. We've got to put an end. He's not going to do anything. He's not. Do you realize if he did anything, first of all, what are the chances of it actually working? Can we be honest there? Hell, he may have tried to go to war already. He's just a horrible shot. And his crap don't work. Possible. And in the other way, I'm surprised we haven't accidentally gone to war because he's accidentally done something stupid. But he's not going to do anything. He's not. The issue with North Korea is what's going to get the people to change. You know, you look around the world. Venezuela is a perfect example of slowly but surely their world is falling apart. There was a fake small little military uprising. It was not a coup d'etat, but it was not a good situation. It's socialism, as you can see, is falling apart. This is a hardline communist nation. But the difference between, say, Russia and them is these people are brainwashed. From birth to death, they're brainwashed. They believe in many ways, much like the Japanese at one time believed their emperor was almost an embodiment of a living God. They believe this crap. So what are you going to do? That's the issue. What are you going to do? A lot of these people, as much as they say they want to escape, the fear factor that's there and the fact that a good portion of them are brainwashed, that's a little tougher. Man, it's a little tougher to push those kind of things through and get everybody to change their mind. Nikki Haley, Ambassador of the UN, though, she thinks differently.
It was something that we needed to do. What this is going to do is send a very strong message and a united message. It was a strong day for the United States. It was a strong day for the United Nations, because what you had was the entire international community tell Kim to stop.
Yeah, but he's not going to stop. You're not going to stop. The guy's not stopping. Now? Oh, you mean you guys weren't kidding? You wanted us to stop? I thought you were joking this whole time. I thought, well, they're taking it. No, he's not going to stop. He's not. Now, Will he pay a little bit more attention because China and Russia got involved in a situation where they decided, hey, you know what, we're going to vote for some ramp up in this stuff because he may be going off the reservation and we need to figure out a way to reel him back in?
China stepped up and not only said they were going to vote for this, they announced that they were going to enforce and they encouraged every other country to enforce.
So they're encouraging other folks. Hey, you out there. Yeah, I'm talking to you. We're encouraging you to do stuff. What are you encouraging us to do? To do this. To come on board. Because we're going to do it as well. Because we don't trust this guy. He's an angry little dwarf who's pissed off at the world. But we can't just go take his stuff away because it could end horribly. So we're going to have to slowly but surely try to squeeze everything we can out of him till eventually the whole thing implodes. And then what? I don't know. That's my big, you know what a bigger fear is? The whole thing crumbles and implodes and China doesn't get there in time before Kim sells off all of his stuff to some people in the Middle East, Iran, and others. That's more frightening than anything else. That's more frightening. That's what we should be going. Okay, let's keep track of all of this stuff. But the question is, Nikki Haley asked, is what's the end game for the dwarf?
We tried to ask him, what's your end game? Now that we're doing this, what's your end game? And he has to decide if he strikes the United States, is that something he can win?
No, he can't. He knows that. Again, he's not an evil genius, but he's not an idiot. He knows he can't win. He knows the end game is his country no longer exists. Having nuclear weapons gets his country a seat at the big table. Having nuclear weapons, he feels, keeps his country safe, keeps his country alive, keeps his country relevant on the world stage. He understands that. He knows there will be no North Korea if he strikes anybody. Doesn't matter. Us, Japan, South Korea, does not matter. Now, why is this ramping up today? Well, as Colonel Jack Jacobs says, people are starting to wonder, hey, he's got miniature nuclearized warheads, and they can actually fit inside missiles. Now we've got to look to our friends over there, like China.
Some people say we don't have any military options, that the only thing we can do, ratchet up economic structures, work with China, because without China, we can't get anything done.
Yeah, without China, we can't get anything done. As far as in the non-military side of things. And this is where trade becomes an issue. This is where dollars and cents. Here's China's big thing. China has 1.5 billion people who enjoy economic freedom to a certain extent, far more than ever before. They've got some mobility. They have opportunity. It's still a very closed regime when it comes to the mind and the politics of it all, but they have economic freedom. So people are willing to let a lot of stuff go if they've got a few dollar bills in their pocket, right? They're willing. If they got some money in the bank and they have economic freedom and they're willing to move, they have a chance to move up and down, they're willing to let certain things go. They know that at some point in time, if we start playing a trade game that gets ugly, that their economy could potentially slow down to a crawl. Then what you start to see is people who no longer have money and no longer have freedom inside of their mind, and they're going to start to get anxious, and it's going to turn into a Tiananmen times a billion. In so many ways, capitalism has come in from behind, like the back door, and slowly but surely eroded much of communism through that, which they hope to control. And they're not going to be able to. Never screw with people's money. Right? Never screw with people's money. You want to see people get angry? Watch what happens. And the other thing is China doesn't want a bunch of people pouring over the border. They don't need, 20,000, 20 million, 20, one other refugee from North Korea. They don't want any part of that. So at some point in time, they're going to have to go, you know what? We're going to have to figure this thing out. with this guy next door. Maybe it's a new puppet regime that we can control, and you know we'll export there, and we'll outsource jobs there. We'll do something, but at some point in time, we got to get rid of this guy.
Continue to squeeze them economically until such time as they either come to the table and agree with the United States and China and Russia too, or they give up.
Yeah, they're not going to give up. They can't afford to give up. They're going to have skin in the game. Everybody's looking at them. It's not just us. Western Europe's looking at them. Everybody's looking at them, saying, you better sort it out. Please. Get it done. But remember, this angry dwarf, and he's angry. He's pissed off at the world for what he, you know what he is? You ever see that show? Was it My Sweet 16 and one of those things on MTV? And those kids were horrible. That's what he is. Everybody's, that's exactly what he's a spoiled, rotten brat who is, you know, he was that kid that was picked on all the time. Mom and dad left him a ton of money, left him the whole wide world that he can, you know, piss off day in and day out, stays relevant. As far as he's concerned, he wants to be looked at, stared at. He wants to be revered. He wants all of those things. Plus, he's got to outdo his dad, and he's got to outdo his grandfather's legend. He's got to do all of that stuff. That's what he is. He's that kid on My Sweet 16 that's just annoying as hell. Wants everybody to come to his party so they can ogle over the fact that he got Usher and Missy Elliott and the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin and ABBA all back together to play because that's how cool he is. But he's cool because he's got nuclear weapons in a lot of ways. He's never going to let that go.
Not going to stop developing weapons delivery capabilities and the arsenal unless they have some sort of guarantees.
And there's no guarantees that he's ever going to believe. Because the minute he gets those, every one of those things, the minute those things are gone, he's irrelevant. He's irrelevant. That's it. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. But he is not that much of an idiot. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Spoiled, yes. Not an evil genius. But I don't think he's that much of an idiot because I think he knows the end game is it's over. It's over. We're going to put out so much stuff. Producer Phil, you don't even know. We're going to destroy the world. It's not even going to exist anymore. We're going to crush the world. Hell's coming with me. It's not going to do it. It's not. Hey, you drive everywhere. Doesn't matter where you drive. Every once in a while goes through your mind, what if? What if something happens to my car? And it's always at that time in your life when you're thinking everything's okay. You got a few extra bucks in the bank, but lo and behold, something happens. And now you're like, oh, my car's under warranty. And this is going to cost me how much? How about some more peace of mind rather than some worry? Extended vehicle service protection from CarShield. Do it like I did. You'll feel better about it. New water pump costs you $500. How many times do you get to a point in your life where you think everything is okay and you got a few extra bucks and next thing you know, water pump, $500. Next thing you know, you're like, oh, how much for a new engine? I've got that. It's $2,800 for that. It's $5,000 for that. $1,000 for a sensor for my GPS? Yes. CarShield takes all of those headaches away. You get 24/7 roadside assistance. Bing! You get a rental car while your car's in the shop. Bing! And oh, by the way, this is what I love. You choose your mechanic. Doesn't matter where. You take it to the mechanic, they take care of the rest directly. Boom. Love that. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield like I did before something goes wrong. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit carshield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com. Code Benson saves you 10%. A deductible may apply. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
Like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse and
Campbell. Passed away today, 81 years young, died of Alzheimer's. Long career, 62 studio albums, released Adios, knowing full well he was going through the end of it all, good days and bad days, with his fight with Alzheimer's. But man, what a career. Started in the Wrecking Crew. If you don't know what that was, essentially, they were the Wall of Sound. Phil Spector's Wall of Sound, that was, he called them their orchestra. And from there, went on to have numerous hits, right? You know, Wichita Lineman. And, of course, Rhinestone Cowboy. Was nominated for Golden Globe for being in True Grit. Nominated for Academy Award the same year for the song True Grit. I mean, the guy was an accomplished career. But, man, Phil and I, we were just playing that. I'm like, hey, play some Glenn Campbell. And I was like, my God, you can't get that out of your mind. Like a Rhinestone Cowboy. I think the way he handled the end-of-life situation, going through just a horrible situation and the way that he did it in his 62nd studio album was pretty amazing. It was absolutely amazing. But Glenn Campbell passed away today, age 81. Each and every single day, I guess we like to make you hipper and cooler, but really, you know, I mean, that's up to you on your hip and coolness. But we call this here our urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Now, Phil, I would like to think I have a bit to play in this urban word. Because it's something I say all the time. And now it's becoming something. I heard my brothers and sisters use it the other day. Phobia. People have a fear of being afraid. People are afraid of just being afraid all the time. They're afraid. And you know who you are out there. You're afraid of everything. I think I have a little bit to play with that because I think we're phobia-phobics anymore. Everybody's afraid of something and they're being called something. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Is there a better way? For what, Chad? That's a good question. Jake Novak's going to answer the question, though. Is there a better way when it comes to insurance? Should hospitals get involved in the insurance game? It'd be really, really interesting. Jake Novak's going to join us. We're going to talk about that. Some hospitals are starting to. And what would that look like? Text the program 323-538-2423. Simple and easy. You can reach us at Chad Benson Show. As well on the Twitter. It is the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's the $1 trillion question. How do we fix healthcare in this country? A lot of people chime in. Not a lot of people know. This guy, I think he may have something here. Jake Novak, senior columnist, CNBC.com, joins us. I read your column about how hospitals could kill the healthcare insurance industry. Very interesting. Break it down for the good people of the United States of America, how this may potentially be the wave of the future.
Well, you have to think about it. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Second of all, you have to think about it in just a simple way like you go shopping. You know what you want, and you know how much you're willing to spend. And that pretty much covers everything that you buy, except for your health care. You don't know how much anything costs until you've already paid for it, and you know the insurance company sends you that little itemized statement telling you, well, here's how much the hospital charges, the doctor charges, here's how much we're going to pay, and here's how much you're responsible for. Well, that's just an insane way to do anything. I mean, you don't know what the prices are. Imagine going into a department store and they say, well, you have to buy it first, and then we'll send you a note telling you how much you spent on this TV or your bed. So I think that this is one of the biggest problems we have in healthcare because prices go up when you don't know what the price is in the first place. That, you know, imagine being someone who can be able to do that. So insurance plays a huge role in masking the prices and allowing prices to go up without people realizing what has just happened. Now, hospitals have a tremendous opportunity to change that because they're the only ones who can provide the actual health care. It's one of the biggest mistakes we make in America. We keep talking about health insurance when we really want to be talking about health care. We want health care prices to go down. I don't care about insurance. The last time I saw somebody struggling with a heart attack or being sick on the street, I didn't call for an insurance adjuster. I called for a doctor. So what we really need to do is get rid of the insurance middleman. I think insurance plays a role in catastrophic care. You know, you want to buy insurance if you're relatively healthy and you're worried about having to do a long hospitalization. But getting insurance for what you know you're going to have to do, like regular doctor visits, doesn't make any sense. And as I've explained, it masks the prices of real health care and shoots the cost of everything up.
It is this weird kind of thing where you and I could both go to the hospital for a broken arm. You leave the hospital and it's $4,000 or $5,000. Same hospital, I leave it at $6,000 or $7,000. How do people arrive at that? It's so arbitrary and bizarre, and it's kind of like one of these mysterious things that takes place behind these closed doors.
And that is, again, you hit the root of the problem. We don't know what the actual prices are. And what's really interesting, you could be a cynic and say, like, well, yeah, they should publish their prices, but there's not going to be much difference. And, you know, the difference you just mentioned about a $6,000 bill and a $4,000 bill, that's nothing. I mean, there have been studies done where there have been the same exact procedure with the same exact treatments and the same exact drugs done for a real small fraction of the cost at one hospital compared to another. And that is really alarming. And, again, it could only exist in a world where you don't have the prices. I mean, it's one thing to go to some kind of boutique place and get a fancy custom-made item. But if we're both going to buy a new Sony 43-inch television, the same exact television, and one store charged three times as much, no one would ever go to that store. It's the same exact product. There's nothing, you're not getting anything for that money. But because of insurance, because of the system, we get hoodwinked in this way. So what I would like to see is, first of all, these prices being unmasked. And that means getting insurance much more, less of a role. Insurance has a tremendous role in our healthcare in this country, and it's outrageous. You know, before Obamacare, the problem with our healthcare costs was insurance. And the Obamacare solution was more insurance for everyone, which is just crazy. That's not what we wanted. And this is not coming from a progressive standpoint or even a conservative standpoint. This is just a mathematical situation. Insurance makes healthcare more expensive. Why would we want more of it? And this, to me, is really the first step. And the second step is trying to get the hospitals to be more honest about their pricing and make them compete a little bit more.
Now, talking to Jake Novak, senior columnist, CNBC. And you know what's funny? I said this the other day. You know, you go in and you look in your bill and you're like, wait a minute here. So the IV, the plastic tube, the plastic bag, and the little needle that went in my arm cost $800-$900, but my iPhone was $799. Are you kidding me? It's so mysterious and bizarre. And you talk about the Amazon effect. If hospitals were to get into this game, what potentially could happen?
Well, some hospitals have tried this already, and hospitals have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with the insurance companies. They hate the fact that they have to do all the negotiating and the paperwork and all that. They don't like, but they love the fact that the insurance companies do two things for them. As I've described, they help mask the pricing for them. If it weren't for insurance companies, people would have to know how much they're going to pay at the hospital. The second thing that they do for them is they make it possible for them to raise prices even if they were publishing them, because they could come out and say, like, look, this is going to cost you $10,000, but don't worry, everybody, your insurance is going to cover it. Without insurance being able to be the second part of the sentence, hospitals couldn't do that. So some hospitals are trying to say, well, let's see what happens if there isn't any insurance. Let's see if we have the insurance plan. Let's see if we create our own insurance plan. If you come to our network of hospitals, our network of doctors only, we will give you a slight discount and you'll be in our system. And some hospitals have tried that, and they're making small profits on it. But I think that what they're doing there, they're playing the long game. They want to see, hey, look, insurance might get completely changed by regulation in the future. If that happens, we want to have some kind of masking device. We want to have another way to get customers and be able to treat them and to make them as our customers. So they're trying that. I would suggest I'm willing to give them a lot of latitude to do that. If I were a legislator, if I were a president, or if I were Secretary of Health and Human Services, I would say, look, guys, the hospitals already have tremendous pricing power. In a lot of states, they are absolute monopolies. And one of the reasons why they are is because they're usually the biggest employers in a lot of states. So they have a lot of political clout. A lot of voters come along with their hospital plans. And I think I would say to them, like, look, we just gave the insurance companies massive profits and a monopoly with Obamacare. That hasn't worked out. Why don't we, at least if we're going to spend taxpayer money on subsidies and all these other things. It should at least go to, let's get rid of the middleman. Let's give it to the actual health care givers. Is that a perfect situation from a free market and a conservative standpoint? No. But if we're going to be spending this tax money on something, let it go to the, you know, get rid of the middleman. Let's just give it to the people who actually give us health care. And that's what I want to see happen.
Talking to Jake Novak, senior columnist, CNBC.com. His new article, How Hospitals Could Kill the Health Insurance Industry. You know, you talk about the money, because I always say, look, everybody's feeding at the trough. The insurance companies, the hospitals, are all feeding at some trough of some politician right now, and they're getting fed. You'd really put two big powers on a collision course if you were to say, hospitals, you go ahead and do this, knock yourself out, because as we all know, the insurance companies aren't going to go away easily, and they too have a lot of clout, and that could potentially end up being a huge brawl amongst people who want your business.
In that game of chicken, I'm betting on the hospitals, and I have a couple of the reasons I've already mentioned. First off, insurance companies do a lot of lobbying, and they spend a lot of money. You're absolutely right there. They have political clout, but they are nothing compared to the hospitals. For the first reason I mentioned, they actually provide the care. You know, at the end of the day, if you're sick, you're not running to your insurance adjuster, you're running to a hospital. So that's one thing. Second thing is, they have so many more employees than your average insurance company. You know, all of us have had to go to the doctor or been to a hospital at one point or other, even if it was just a visit. We've seen all the people who work there. I've never been into a health insurance company's offices. I can tell you, when you look at, if you do your research, they don't have anywhere near the number of employees in any given state. So when they go to a governor or a senator, they can say, like, look, the insurance companies might be spending a lot of money lobbying, but I can spend similar amount of money and I can deliver votes for you, because if you shut us down or if you give us a problem, we have to lay people off. You've got a health care emergency in your state and you're going to lose some voters. So you're right. There would be a game of chicken. There would be a clash. It could be a real battle. But in that battle, I'm betting on the hospitals all the way. And, you know, listen, they need to be reformed. They've consolidated, and they have huge monopolies in many different states that have to be looked at. But we're never going to be able to look at that and shine a light on that until we get rid of the insurance middleman. And by getting rid, I mean just diminishing their role. They should not be playing a role in our everyday healthcare. Major medical, hospitalization, surgeries, insurance makes sense in those situations. But for the sniffles and for, you know, for a woman's regular, you know, OBGYN appointment, it makes no sense to use insurance.
You talk about, you know, the hospitals monopolies they have, especially in a lot of states. I was just in Missouri, and that Springfield is just, it's a giant hospital with a few other places around it. If you want to go to the gym, it's actually inside of the hospital. So I see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
Could this force, though, insurance companies to rethink their business model? And would that be a good idea?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think insurance companies, I mean, listen, there's, so now we have a little bit of a new vision for insurance companies. It's kind of like the old vision. Now, it didn't pass. We all know that the Senate GOP Republican Obamacare replacement bill did not pass. So one of the good things that came out of it was the idea that, like, look, guys, let the insurance companies sell bare-boned insurance plans like they used to, and let that be compliant. And, you know, no one will get a fine if they just have a bare-boned major medical plan. And of course, the big insurers were against it. And the reason why they were against it is because they know that will invite a lot of competition. And they don't want competition. They want to be the big guys on the block. But for you and me, that would be great news. So I'm not really worried about the big guys in the insurance industry, you know, as far as the names of the companies. But I do think that there is a role for insurance in our healthcare. It should be in major medical. And I would love to see a lot more competition there. Because if the insurance companies have tons of competition for major medical type of expenses, then there will be pressure from the consumer base and from the insurance companies on hospitals and on the medical profession to innovate. I mean, you know, they have rural hospitals now that are really making incredible strides in robotic surgery, where a surgeon from a remote location is doing the surgery, and it comes off even better than if he were there. These are the kinds of things that happen only when need creates it. And I think insurance, if a lot more people were on major medical insurance and more people were eligible for surgeries and would be able to pay for it, then we would see medical innovation in some of the most cutting-edge, hardcore healthcare. The sniffles and stuff like that, no, we wouldn't see that. But that's not where insurance belonged anyway.
You know, you talk about, you know, the insurance, getting rid of the insurance. We talk about, you know, where they get treated, which is the hospital. But one thing we haven't talked about is doctors. What happens with doctors at this point in time? Because people are going to be vying for doctors' attentions. A lot of times doctors are at 2 and 3 and 4 hospitals where they can go service their patients and do stuff. Is this going to cause issues amongst doctors that say, look, I want to be able to go to all three, but now they're wanting me to choose just one?
Yeah, well, this is, you know, something that's really interesting that's happening in the country right now. So hospital, here's another thing, that another reason why I'm betting on the hospitals in any kind of a clash with any other industry. Hospitals get to charge more for the same exact procedure because they're considered to be full service operations. So if you go to your local doctor, private practice doctor, and get a throat culture, the hospital can do the same exact throat culture and charge quite a bit more. And what hospitals figured out a few years ago was like, hey, if we buy out some of these private practice doctors who are tired of running from one hospital to the next, tired of filling out all this insurance stuff, tired of basically being a, you know, glorified employee, satellite employee for an insurance company, we can take over their practices and make this more money on the same exact procedures that they were doing. A lot of when this first happened, people felt like, oh, well, the hospitals are just doing economies of scale. They're buying up 100 doctors' practices, and they're going to make money in volume. No, that's not really what they were doing. What they were doing was just doing the same exact procedure and charging more. And by charging more, they can charge insurance companies more, they can charge Medicare more, and they can charge Medicaid more. And so that is what one of the things that's happening right now. Now, so a lot of doctors like this. They don't want to have to do the paperwork anymore. They just want to be a doctor. They hate fighting with insurance companies. But the other part of the thing that you're mentioning is we have too many consolidated hospitals right now. There is much too much consolidation in major cities. Sorry, not so much major cities, but in places like Kansas, there are very wide swaths of the state where there's really only one hospital company that controls all the healthcare in that area. And that, of course, doesn't do anything good for our healthcare prices. So what I would do there is I would take a look at the hospitals and say, like, look, some of these existing monopolies, it's going to be too difficult for us to break up. But we need to talk to you about how much you're charging Medicare, Medicaid, and the insurance companies. We need to reduce that. And in return, we're going to allow you to have this kind of, you know, to continue buying up private practices, continue doing what you're doing. And we'll also take a look at some of the other special charges and problems that hospitals have. They still take a lot of people who walk into those emergency rooms, a lot of indigent people, a lot of illegal aliens who walk in, and they can't get any money out of them. And I understand where they're coming from. And I think that hospitals should send us an itemized bill, and we'll figure out, the taxpayers will figure out how much they get reimbursed for that. But as far as continuing to be able to charge us more for the same exact procedures and be able to consolidate like they are, that can't continue.
Last question. I appreciate you coming on. Jake Novak, senior columnist, CNBC. Flash forward 5 years. Is this something that's a working model, that's a real viable option that may combat the rising cost of healthcare, and or is this just a pie in the sky? A few places will try this, but chances of it going nationwide is slim to none.
Well, it's the answer. A lot of this answer is going to be answered for us. The insurance companies, if they're forced to continue covering all the millions of extra people they've been forced to cover because of Obamacare, they won't be able to be as big a player. They're making huge profits on things like Medicare and Medicare Advantage, but the government is no way going to be able to go to them and say, like, look, you guys can continue making your billions on Medicare Advantage plans, but it's okay if you just stop doing Obamacare exchanges. So that's not going to happen. The insurance companies are going to have to make a big change. So it's not pie in the sky, because they're going to have to either decide whether they're going to be willing to continue in the Obamacare program at all, or say goodbye to those billions they're making on some of their more profitable areas. It's not pie in the sky because, like I said, there are a number of hospital systems that are trying out this kind of insurance. I say to that, I think, look, I'd love to be able, as a conservative, as mostly a libertarian conservative, hey, let's get all the subsidies out, no more money from the government. But you know what? Realistically, we know that's never going to happen. The Republicans in Congress are too cowardly to do that. The Democrats are never going to allow that to happen. So what I think we need to do is say to ourselves, like, look, this is a realistic solution. The hospitals, at least, they are the healthcare provider. So if we're going to continue with some form of subsidies, some form of coverage for people who are poor, have pre-existing conditions, at least let's cut out the middleman and give that money to the hospitals directly. That will reduce our costs. And if it doesn't, then we need to go to the hospitals and say, like, look, you guys have to find a way to reduce your costs, or we're going to open up a lot more competition. I mean, that's the knife over there, you know, that's the sword over their head. We can say, like, look, we're going to let you have this control without the insurance company's interference. You're going to be able to do this. But if this is not lower prices for the taxpayers, then we're going to have to get rid of your monopolies and really see what happens when we allow more hospital competition. And there will be people who will want to do it, because there'll be a lot of money in it. So, you know, that's they'll be making money on it. So clearly there'll be a need for competition.
Very intriguing, very exciting, what may potentially be coming. And again, something's always ebbing and changing in the world of healthcare. Jake Novak's his name, senior columnist, CNBC.com. Appreciate you coming on today, Jake.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be interesting to see what takes place, but I like it. Think outside the box, people. That's what we have to do. If we want to change things, the way that we've been doing them isn't working. It's time to think outside the box. It's Chad Benson Show.
Hello, Operator.
Washington Beltway insiders have nothing on us.
You may have shot 100 squirrels, but this guy got an elephant. Which one's going to feed more?
The following sequence may cause extreme emotional gratification.
I can't be that emotionally charged over what Bernie Sanders says or Donald Trump says or any. I can't. It's just, I got other things going on in my life.
Ungrateful mental cases.
Get all the juiciest White House leaks here first. The Chad Benson Show.
That's me. Great interview. Jake Novak. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. Grab the podcast. Listen to it. Really eye-opening. Really eye-opening from CNBC.com. Jake Novak. Definitely one of those kind of things where you think to yourself, wow, could health care insurance be eventually a thing of the past and hospitals be the place that has your insurance? Could this be the way? Think outside the box. We need to do that. If we're going to fix things like this, it's not going to be the way that we've done things in the past, because that is what? Insanity. We're not getting a different result. We know the result is going to come in. It's going to be more expensive. Too many mysteries involved. Let's try something else. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. John, New Mexico, what's happening?
Hey, Chad. It's good to see you, or hear you. I was just thinking about this. About 8-9 years ago, I had a stent put in my leg. And before that, a buddy of mine up the street's a retired plumber, and he had one put in his neck. And he was in the hospital 3 days and two nights. He got his stent. It was $21,000-something. I went in about 3-4 months later, had one put in my leg. I'm an active union iron worker. And I got my statement back. Same hospital, same doctor, everything. I was in there for 6 hours, one afternoon. And my statement was $102,000.
It's insane, man. It is absolutely insane. I appreciate your call, John. I'm telling you, this is the problem we have. It's a mystery. Think about that. Hey, you go buy something at your supermarket, and then you get a bill later, and it's 20 grand. Say what? Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States.
Ever. Never better ever. Best not ever. Because if they do, I'm coming for you. You know who you are. Did you read my book, Art of the Deal? Greatest book of all time. Second to the Bible. Jesus and I, best friends. North Korea apparently is going to bomb Guam. Not really bomb it, just like maybe start a big wave and tip it over. It was so funny. Somebody actually thought. Somebody was an elected official. Were they in Congress or were they a senator who thought that Guam
they were representative.
Was just, they could just, it could flip over. There were so many people on it. It could flip over. Thought it was just like a floating island. So Kim's rattling the saber, as he does. And he's going to be on double secret probation, like triple probation. I'm calling the Oon today. I'm going to tell the Oon they better watch out. Hey, Oon is after you. Kim Jong-un, meet the Oon. That is unbelievable. Oh, my God. So Kim is rattling the saber. And apparently, he's got mini nukes. Those like mini frosted flakes. Those things are delicious. I make him the greatest thing ever. He's got a mini nuke that he could put on a warhead. And apparently, and we were joking about it, the whole thought process of intercontinental ballistic missile means at some point in time it has to leave the continent of which you're on or around. He has trouble with that. I said he should call it the feats. How many feats did it fly? A lot of feats. A lot of feats. Our stuff flies lots more feats. Lots more fleets. It's going to be huge. But this is what the Trumpster had to say today. And it basically looked right at you and said, screw you, you dwarf.
He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. They will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen.
Ever before in the history of worlds. Ever. Ask Japan. Like, bigger than that. Like a tsunami of evil. It's coming your way. It is. Chad, this isn't funny. We're going to go to war. It's coming. It's not. Take a deep breath. Please, for the love of goodness and all humanity, breathe. He's a pain in the ass. What did you expect? It's like his dad, but a bigger pain in the ass. Who was like his grandfather, but a bigger pain in the ass. Lots of pains in the asses. They've created a dictatorship that rules by insanity, meaning they have brainwashed their people. And at the same time, there's this belief that if he gives up any of his stuff, i.e. his nuclear weapons, that his country will cease to exist anymore and they'll eventually disappear. China's getting involved now. How far will it go? I don't know. But is he really going to do anything? Is he? I have two big fears when it comes to Kim Jong-un. First, that they collapse. And that those weapons they do have end up in Iran and elsewhere. Secondly, that he shoots something off thinking it's going to land in the sea and it lands like in Seoul or somewhere else. Yeah. That's a bigger fear. War by accident. And what would we do? That's a question I think we need to ask ourselves. What would we do? What would you want the response to be? If you're President Trump, I think you stand back, and if something like that happened, you let the dust settle and see how the international world is going to deal with it. Get everybody on board. So we're all on the same page. Nobody's bitching. We don't need another Afghanistan. Let's just let them know this is a one and done. Two black planes will fly over at night. It's a one and done, but everybody's signing off on this because we're going to use some of our toys and we're going to be sending a message to everybody else. Boy, are our toys better than yours. We went to Toys R Us. You went to the 99-cent store. Just want to point that out. Just want to throw that out there. General Wesley Clark.
What would be a reasonable objective in this case is to stabilize Northeast Asia, strengthen deterrence, build up South Korea's ability to respond at any level of provocation from the North, make sure the North knows it.
Yeah. We've got to put plans in place. And in fact, this is something I found to be very interesting. This is a report about using force and a new poll on whether or not we should use force.
A poll by the Chicago Council of Global Affairs found that 62% would approve of deploying U.S. forces. That's up from 47% in 2014 and 2015. It's the first time that more than half have expressed support since the question was first asked in 1990. The poll was conducted after North Korea launched a ballistic missile last month that could potentially hit the United States.
Super.
Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
We're going to have to destroy them at some point in time. I'm not quite sure when. Maybe my new book called Art of the Deal 2, Destroyed. But 62%, because people are worried. And let's be real. He's threatening us, right? But that's like, my little brother is 5, and my other little brother is 7, my other little brother is 3. I mean, 11. When they say, I'm going to kick your butt, I don't really think, oh my God, he's going to kick my butt. And that's kind of what this is. You're threatening us. You are. But I know they're not serious, and I don't think he is serious, but you have to be ready. You do. At some point in time, I think you start to maybe mobilize, send some show of force, and, you know, look, let's just be honest. There could be an accident, and that is my biggest fear, is he's going to do something stupid. And I love your joke, Producer Phil. How many North Koreans does it take to fire off a missile? One to fire the missile and one to watch Japanese television to find out where it lands. But my problem is it may land in Japan. It may do that. because their stuff isn't great. Let's be real. Just because you figured out how to work it, just because you figured out how to build something, doesn't mean that all of it's going to work together. And that's a fear factor right there with these idiots. And they are idiots. But I would like to also think that somewhere out there in North Korea, behind the scenes, even further away than that, than we even know about, as far as potential people that we may have backdoor channels with, there are cooler, calmer heads who say, if this guy tells me to do something, we shoot him on the spot. We shoot him on the spot. And I would like to think that that stuff is coming from China, who is reaching out there saying, hey, you know, Kim Jong, Fred, whatever your name is, you've got a green light if he goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and wants to, you know, to fire one off. Knock yourself out. But this is going to be a question that's going to be talked about over the next couple days. Because he is, you know, ramping it up, and now he's talking about he's going to fire something off towards Guam to show everybody at some point in time, I can reach you. Okay. Is this what you really want to do? And he's pissed now because we've put double secret probation on him. It's unstoppable. It's the greatest probation ever. I went to the UN itself and said, UN, do it. And they did it. Now what? But it's going to be talked about. It's going to be debated. Plus, it's summertime. He knows that. There's nothing going on here. It's just a bunch of people sitting around pontificating about Trump's, you know, poll numbers and things like that. It's a perfect time for you to make a bunch of noise. And now you're doubly pissed off because the chances of you getting all the best brandy you've always wanted is kind of going away right now because everybody's got to stay away from you because you're a pariah again. To the point where even Russia and China signed off and voted, yeah, this guy's an idiot. This guy's an idiot. More idiot than we thought. So now what? We'll find out. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's going to happen. And the thought process is, well, we can get the nuclear weapon. It's never going to happen. General Wesley Clark continues to be on my side for this.
If the objective is to eliminate the North Koreans' nuclear potential and their ballistic missile capabilities, that's probably not an achievable objective.
Yeah, yeah, because he sees this as big game, big seat at the table. He sees all of these things as a way to keep his life, his country, around and relevant. I ain't never giving it up. Not going to give it up for anybody. It's just not. So this is the song and dance that everybody's going to have to play, no matter who the president is. If it was Trump, if it was Hillary, it doesn't matter. This is the song and dance for the next president. As long as there continues to be a Kim Jong-un, a Kim Jong-who, a Kim Jong-what, there's going to be these kind of issues. Because he wants to be relevant. He wants to be a star. He's that spoiled brat, sweet 16 kid you'd see on MTV. He's that fading 80s star. He's Todd Bridges. Is that horrible to say? Is that wrong? I felt a little wrong.
But funny.
But funny. He wants to be relevant. He is. He's Leif Garrett. Wants to be relevant. Well, you're not. But unfortunately, you hold the key to something. And that is, you may on accident start a nuclear war. But it's not going to be World War III if you do. It's going to be World War, you're dead. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. Text the program always, 323-538-2423. As you travel, many of us do. In fact, my buddy is driving cross-country now. He's got his dream job. And you've heard him on the show before, Jason Page, Back Page, at Back Page. He's a sports guy. He's got his dream job in San Francisco, working at a big station there, sports guy, and driving across country. And I'm like, dude, you got to get this, man. Peace of mind. It's the most incredible thing in the world. It's Car Shield, and you get extended vehicle service protection. And let me tell you something. It is amazing. He's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, let's just say your car breaks down, right? You get 24/7 roadside assistance. You get a rental car while your car's in the shop. And by the way, you choose the mechanic. You drive as much as a lot of us do. We all know how important that is to be able to have something in our back pocket that protects us should something go wrong. We know the expense of cars nowadays is crazy. $500 here, $1,000 there, $500, maybe $1,000 for a new, you know, sensor, $5,000 for a new engine and transmissions, a couple grand. It's crazy. It is. But with extended vehicle service protection from CarShield, you have to worry about that. Like I said, they'll pick you up. Car breaks down. They'll look at you and they'll say, "Hey, we're going to get you a rental car." You're like, "Oh, really? That's great." So, yeah, you don't have to worry about anything. So your car's fixed. And by the way, where do you want us to tow it? "Well, this is the place I use." "Great, we're going to go there. And by the way, we're going to handle everything else from here." What? That's simple. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield like I did before something goes wrong. Call 800-CAR-6100. See how easy that is? 800-CAR-6100. Mention code Benson. Or visit carshield.com. Use code Benson. When you do, you save yourself 10%. That's carshield.com. Code Benson saves you 10%. A deductible may apply. What's next? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Kid tested. Mother approved.
You know, we're talking about going potentially into yet another, and I don't even say this will be war. I think war is boots on the ground anymore. I think firing off a missile, a drone, or flattening someplace, it's hard to say that's war when the end game is you just, nobody exists. By the time we get boots back on the ground, they're all going to have white suits and they're going to have radiation detectors kind of thing. That's a different story. But one thing I thought, what's next is, what's next for Afghanistan? Report out today that Trump and the White House are looking at something that's unprecedented, privatizing much of what's left in Afghanistan and the war in Afghanistan. Interesting. Yeah. You're not allowed to have mercenaries, but I don't think this would be mercenaries in the sense that we would think about mercenaries. Mercenaries in the think we think about mercenaries are people who are guns for hire, but they're from all over the world. So you'd put together a force, you'd have South Africans and you have French. And we have that. But this is, you know, we've become, war is private anyways. I mean, war is huge business, right? War is major, major business. And there's trillions of dollars, not billions, not billions. Nobody wants that kind of war. They want trillions. But privatizing it? Now, the UN has gotten away, got far away and made sure that people can't do that anymore. There's a great story of a group of Belgians and South Africans that privatized themselves in the early 80s. I think it was the Congo, where they stopped a massive civil war and the UN stepped in and said, "You can't do this. This isn't right. And we're going to make you obsolete." And within, you know, days, really hours after that happened, everything went to hell in a handbasket. Massive civil war that has really never stopped since then, back and forth in several of these countries. And in some ways, it's something to look at. But is it right? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. But we've moved into a different world now, a much more global world, and it is a business. So why not treat it as a business and look at privatizing? They're robbing us now in a lot of ways. Might as well just get it all out in the open. What's next for war is it may be far more privatized than we think. And what's next for Afghanistan is it may be even more open for business than ever before. And that may not be the worst thing. That's what's next. Matt Spaulding's going to be next from Hillsdale College. Dr. Matt Spaulding, not a licensed medical professional. He's going to join us to talk about whether or not the old Congress should be called back into session. It's happened before in the past. And whether or not the president should use his powers to call them back and tell them, "American people want you to get some stuff done, specifically with health care. Now you better get it did." Ooh, that sounds, he's like, "You need to come back and you need to get it done. And I'm going to do it right now with my super special magic powers. Come back and do it." I don't know if he's going to do that or not. Matt Spaulding's going to join us next from Hillsdale College. We're going to talk about whether or not they should be brought back, why they've been brought back in the past, and even if they can get anything done. Text the program 323-538-2423.
323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Like us on Facebook as well. Matt Spaulding, Hillsdale College, joins us next. Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I'd love to take a vacation. I do every once in a great while. President's taking one right now. Congress always seems to be on some sort of vacation. Sometimes in life, in trying times, you need to skip your vacation. Joining us now, Dr. Matthew Spaulding, Vice President, Dean of Educational Programs from Hillsdale College in Washington, D.C. Okay, good doctor. This is extraordinary times, and in extraordinary times and situations, presidents in the past can order these guys and gals to get their butts back to work. And in a couple articles, you're saying, hey, you know what? This is one of those times where they need to get back to work.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, look, any employer would cancel vacations, and a parent would ground their students. I mean, the teacher would cancel your recess. This is ridiculous. The president has said many times that the healthcare crisis around us is out of control. This thing is collapsing. The Senate has done nothing. They've had time to prepare, years to prepare. They tried three or four different pieces of legislation at the very end. And then last Friday, they even gave themselves an extra week. And so then now they're going on vacation for almost a month. So I think the president should invoke his constitutional power. It's an undisputed power to convene the Congress, call them back into session, and he should cancel their vacation. So absolutely right. I think that's what he should do.
It's happened in the past on more than a few occasions. When was the last? Was it Bush the last one to do it in 2005?
President Obama did it. He called the House back after Katrina to pass the spending bill, which goes to another point. See, we associate this calling Congress back into session with national security crises or war. So, you know, Lincoln famously did it during the Civil War, FDR right before World War II. But the most of the time, and that's occurred, you know, 66 times. But most of the time this has occurred, the president has called one house back into session. So he's called the Senate back by themselves 46 times. And often this is done for domestic policy reasons. And, you know, the one famous one I always like to point out is Harry Truman. You might remember this one, right? His numbers were really low. He was worse off than President Trump was right now. And he thought Congress wasn't doing its job. He called him back into session in 1948 to pass domestic policy legislation. They didn't, and he turned around and ran against a do-nothing Congress. And you know what? He won an upset victory. The
yes,
politics
he did.
Of this is also good, and I think he should exert that power, cancel the vacation, tell him to get back here. And he ran on it. He said it's a crisis. He said this is out of control. Why in the world would they take a month off?
I don't know. I would love to have a month off, but that's the, you know, I'm assuming they say, well, it's for us to go back and be with our constituents. But I think we both know, Dr. Spaulding, that that's a bunch of hooey. So he can call back either one of them. And right now, if you were going to call back one, the Senate is the one you need to call back. What's the likelihood of him doing something like this?
Well, the you know, at this point, they were thinking about this. This was one of the things on their plate. As time goes by, the likelihood goes down. Partially because, see, the Senate's playing this as well, right? They don't want to ruin their vacation, so they're probably going to stay in what is called pro forma session, which is they'll have one senator come in and gavel a meeting into session every 3 days for about a minute, right? And they'll say, we're not in recess. So technically, we're not on vacation. We're still in session. And that would prevent Trump from using this power. But look, if he could use this, if they give him the opportunity, he should cancel their vacation, force them to come in, because there's nothing they can do in response. They have to do his bidding on this case. He can set a time. He can say, I'm going to speak before you. He can ask them for that. But I think he gets a lot of leverage out of it. And on top of that, he gets the political leverage of embarrassing them, making them look bad, increasing the pressure on the Senate. You know, the House of Representatives, which we complain about Congress, but the House of Representatives has sent over 250 pieces of legislation to the Senate. And they're all just sitting there. President Trump has only signed 42 bills thus far in his presidency. The Senate's a big holdup. They're not approving his nominations. They can't solve health care. They can't pass that. And I think he needs to use his powers as president through the separation of powers in the Constitution to really put the pressure on them.
Talking to Dr. Matthew Spaulding, Vice President, Dean of Education Programs for Hillsdale College in Washington, D.C. And you talk about the embarrassment side of it all and the fact that they've sent so many things over. You've got two big bills for immigration there. We're talking about tax reform, all these kind of things. The frustration, I'm sure, if President Trump is feeling it, but the American people are feeling it, too. And I don't think they understand that the House is kind of doing their job. The Senate's kind of looking around, not doing their job. And yet the entire time the Republicans said, hey, give us the House. Okay, you got it. Give us the Senate. You got it. Give us the presidency. You got it. And yet here we are, show votes for on Obamacare, other bills sitting there. Nothing seems to be going on. And everybody's staring at Mitch McConnell. And what is going on?
Yeah, virtually nothing is the problem. So you have a couple of things going on in the Senate in particular that I think are at issue here. One is senators are notoriously incapable of doing actual work, right? They're rarely called on to actually make decisions. So that they've let the House take in the heat for some time now, and all of a sudden now they've got to make some decisions. They're not good at that. So there's not a consensus within the Republican caucus. But behind that, you have this other problem, something called the filibuster, which I think is something that can stick around for historical reasons, but it's being widely misused by the opposition party to stop anything. All legislation is now stopped by the filibuster, which says majority doesn't actually rule the Senate anymore. Anybody can prevent anything from coming up and requiring to get 60 votes. And this just gums up the whole institution, which means Congress as a whole is essentially – not functioning. It's not meeting its legislative requirements. It's not doing its duty. And here, I think the American people don't understand that. They just think the whole Washington, D.C. is dysfunctional. But in reality, you've got this one particular chamber that's putting a stop on everything.
You know, you're a smart guy. Everybody says you're brilliant. I think you're pretty damn smart at all this kind of stuff. You look back, our founding fathers, they set everything up, Dr. Spaulding, to have debate, to have discord, but to have some functionality. If you think they were here today, they would say, whoa, 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 whoa. You guys are supposed to have some debate. You're supposed to have some discord. You're supposed to argue. But you're supposed to get stuff done, and you're getting nothing done.
No, that's exactly right. Look, there are checks and balances. We all remember, I remember Schoolhouse Rock, right? Explains how the system is supposed to work. There's supposed to be things in there that prevent things from happening fast. It's supposed to force debate. But at the end of the day, it's supposed to get things done. The purpose of the Constitution is to actually do things that the American people want. And the Congress's role is to legislate, and the role of the president is to execute. And he has said over and over again, he's there, sitting there with a pen, ready to sign legislation. The Congress is not doing its main function. If you look at the broader term, right, Congress, and here the House is also guilty, Congress as a whole, they don't pass budgets anymore. The most basic thing that they're required to do, which is pass a budget and oversee the authorization and spending of the government. And they really don't do it. They do these huge omnibus bills at the end of the year. They're just a dysfunctional institution. And I think it's still even that is driven by the fact that everything gets stopped up in the Senate.
If you were to say, hey, you know what? I can fix one thing when it comes to politics in D.C. at the snap of my fingers. Dr. Spaulding, I throw it out there because you're a magician now and a wizard, super Harry Potter style. What would you do that would help the American people and that would help politics move a little bit smoother?
Well, in terms of this immediate ball up in the Congress, I think the one structural change I would make is I would get rid of the filibuster. Let's just open it up. The will of the people is not being met. You still would have checks and balances between the institutions. You'd still have both chambers. But the promise now is that Congress is using all these kind of artificial mechanisms, right? Omnibus bills, these deadlines, these rules, procedures, traditions. And what is all that is happening is it's allowing senators, congressmen generally, but in senators in particular, to essentially avoid doing the actual hard work of legislating. Open all that up and get politics going again. And allow, and then you have the checks and balances between an executive and Congress. I think we need to kind of open all that up, have kind of Madisonian politics going on, and then fight all this out, deliberate, but then do things. And, you know, the dysfunction of Washington, D.C. is deeply intertwined into these institutions, and they're increasingly not in line with the will of the American people. Whether we broadly understand that is the will that elects the president, or just more generally the massive frustration that it can't do the most basic of things.
Do you think healthcare can get done where we have an actual sit down between Democrats and Republicans in the Senate and knock this thing out? Or is this just, you know, utopia belief system that these two groups can come together, the likes of Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and the Bernie Sanders of the world?
Well, if you could have Republicans and Democrats, say, of, you know, maybe 10 or 20 years ago, right? Think of, you know, the Tip O'Neills back in Reagan's day. If you had those kinds of Democrats and Republicans sitting down, I think they could figure this out. The problem is that the political parties today have really divided, not merely ideologically left and right, but on in terms of defending the status quo and the kind of modern bureaucratic state. And I think the modern Democratic Party is so vested in all that. And then you add to that the fact that Donald Trump is president and they are so deeply committed to not cooperating with him on anything. Still wanting to resist his presidency. Yeah, I think the likelihood of that is actually quite low. But in the midst of that, the fact that the Republicans can't even get their own people on the same page is just phenomenal. I mean, the majority leader can't keep his own party in check, and the president can't work with the party who controls both chambers of Congress. That's just an amazing situation, which I think really does point to the dysfunction of politics.
His name is Dr. Matt Spaulding. He's Associate Vice President, Dean of Educational Programs from Hillsdale College in Washington, D.C. Smartest guy in the room always. We appreciate you coming on today and sharing your knowledge with it. And who knows? I doubt they're going to come back from recess.
Always good to break that up, though. I like the idea of ruining their vacations.
I love that.
But look forward to talking to you next time.
Thanks so much. Ruining their vacations. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, it's not really ruining your vacations, but do you like the slyness of it all? And producer Phil, you and I talked about it because you knew somebody who worked for one of the senators at a time or something, worked at the House, who said, yeah, that one person would come in, they would gabble for like a minute or two, they would talk about something and leave, and technically they weren't on vacation. And I'm sure they're collecting their per diem because I'm sure they get one of those as well. Yet at the same time, nobody's actually there.
Yeah, they have to formally recess it every day.
Such baloney. We're paying for that. Man, I get rid of the filibuster, too. I'd say, you know what? Let's just do this the way that we – enough is enough. There are too many archaic, bizarre rules that slow things down. Our founding fathers wanted us to have discord. They want us to argue. They want us to talk about things. But in the end, they didn't want us to just say, well, we can't get anything done and walk away. They wanted us to come to some resolution. And we're never getting there. Not this way. Not this time. It's about evolving, and maybe it's time to evolve a little bit more. Maybe. Chad Benson.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say! Woo! Producer Phil, every once in a while, we've got to remind the world that if you go into nature,
nature will mess you up.
Mess you up. Doesn't always have to kill you. But sometimes it can do things to you that aren't very good. I don't know if you saw this guy. Australian kid. G'day there, playing around, having a little fun with his friends. Says, I'm going to go in the ocean, Roddy. And he did. Next thing you know, he starts bleeding. His feet are on fire. They're bleeding. What is going on? Seeks medical attention all over. His picture and the picture of his feet have been there. When he gets home, they don't know what to do because it won't stop bleeding. His dad's trying to figure out what's going on. He says, Dad, I just went in there. And, you know, when you go in the ocean, you think about sharks. Oh, sharks. You know, jellyfish, the box jellyfish, Australia. Things kills you. Boom. Don't even see them. They're invisible. But what were these little things? His dad didn't know what happened. So his dad went back to the same spot that he was at. Put on two wetsuits. Not one, but two. Took meat. Watched them get devoured. You know what they were? Da, 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 da. Sea fleas. Ew. That's disgusting. 16-year-old boy's feet were destroyed by sea fleas. That is gross. But once again, when you go into nature, nature potentially will mess you up. You don't want to be a part of that. Apparently, when they bite, something happens, a coagulant or some sort, that won't allow your blood to thicken and to clot and the whole nine yards, so you continue to bleed. It's not going to kill him. He's going to be fine. He'll make 100% recovery. But that's a say what and why people don't go into certain parts of nature. Here's a little say what for you. Sleep. It's amazing. It's incredible. Do you know if you get less than 6 hours of sleep continuously, that is the equivalent of going on a binge drinking? It's crazy, right? Say, what? Yeah. Potential binge drinking. This according to a new study coming out of Quebec, which is, of course, in Canada, but it is Quebec. And what they're saying is your brain has issues functioning if you lack sleep, which I don't think we really need a study for that. The one thing I found interesting was the study that came out last month that says that if you lack sleep, eventually your brain eats itself. Now, not in the way that rah, 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 and your brain's gone. That's not the way that works. But in a way that, for all intents and purposes, it'll eat cells inside of your brain. To me, I find that to be more interesting. This is pretty self-explanatory. The less sleep you have, the worse it is for you. You have trouble functioning. You have trouble with concentration, making cognitive decisions, things like that. That's where you have issues. Not a shocker. What they do say is you need at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night on a regular basis to function properly. Didn't need that. I tell you that all the time. But that's why I am who I am. Say what? The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Text the program always, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. You can also email the show. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. Why? Because we have your podcast up there. It's available always. Great interviews like Dr. Matt Spaulding, Jake Novak. You get what I'm saying. Diamond and Silk. Just go to ChadBensonShow.com. Grab your podcast there. This here be the Tostada Tuesday edition of the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
What would be a reasonable objective in this case is to stabilize Northeast Asia, strengthen deterrence, build up South Korea's ability to respond at any level of provocation from the North, make sure the North knows it.
North is ramping up the rhetoric, going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Kim Jong-un is unbelievable at this point in time, doing what he does. A lot of people are worried. People texting in, listening to the show throughout the day. One person just texted a minute ago and was very honest, you know, about how they feel about these, you know, crazy situations. Says, I don't like my blank is bigger contest going on right now with Trump and North Korea. I never want to hear my president say the words he said today. I'm very upset and concerned right about now. What did said president say today, Mr. Donald Trump? He said this.
He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. They will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen.
Nobody wants to hear your president utter those words. But you know what? This Kim Jong-un, this little character over there, and he's almost a caricature. If you're going to draw up an evil, crazy character, this is one of those little ones you would draw up. And you know what? He's an asshat. He's an a-hole. Let's be honest. He is. And he wants the bully pulpit as long as he can have it. It was passed down. And crazy passed down, even crazier passed down, craziest as of this point in time. With Kim Jong-un. Let's be real. Grandpa, crazy. But decent negotiator and understanding of a lot of things in the geopolitical world that isn't as, it wasn't at that time geopolitical the way it is now. Dad, crazy like a fox, got himself some nuclear weapons, made himself a player. Kim Jong-un, the third in line, craziest of all, spoiled brat, showing the world that. And I understand why people are worried. Said today he's going to bomb Guam. Why would he want to bomb Guam? He's not going to bomb Guam. He just wants to shoot it close by and show him, hey, I can reach you guys. Shut up. President said, and I quote, we will respond if you do anything with fury and fire and hell and brimstone. I threw that in. I thought it'd be more... I thought it'd be more intriguing if you threw that. We're gonna bomb you back to the Stone Age, and then we're gonna go bomb you again so you don't exist, and then we're gonna get your ashes, and we're gonna bomb them again. You're never going to be around. Do you have an understanding of what's going on? But he didn't say that. He said, look, he's little and annoying. This is what Producer Phil, listen to this clip again, and I want you to say, okay, what he says here, and then I'm gonna ask you a question about that.
He has been very threatening. Beyond a normal statement.
Beyond a normal state? Like, there's a threat level? Like, it's okay that he says that, but this is too much.
Yeah, I'm not sure I get that.
Yeah, he's super threatening, but he's went over-threatening. He's super threatened, and I don't like that. He didn't read out of the deal. I make deals. I make deals with everybody. But not this guy. He's a jerk. So the world's worried. The world's worried. Why is he pissed? Well... pretty simple. Newest sanctions are the nastiest sanctions that have been around for quite a long time. They've had sanctions, but this is double secret probation.
It was something that we needed to do. What this is going to do is send a very strong message and a united message. It was a strong day for the United States. It was a strong day for the United Nations, because what you had was the entire international community tell Kim to stop.
Yeah, including China, including Iran. Including Russia, including China. So you had two people that do talk to him, that do deal with him, that provide a lot of the GDP that he has, and they essentially said enough is enough because they see where this is going. Right? My fears, which I think are closer to reality than anything else, are two things. One, that eventually the regime collapses, and at some point in time, those nuclear weapons get out of North Korea, and instead of ending up in China, they end up in a place like Iran or elsewhere in the Middle East. Two, he starts something accidentally. He fires off something. The aim's not so good. It lands somewhere in Japan. It lands somewhere in South Korea. It lands somewhere that causes everybody to take notice, and there's going to have to be a reaction. But Nikki Haley right there said, look, this is it right here. This is why he's pissed, because the world is speaking right now. and one that has to speak are the Chinese.
China stepped up and not only said they were going to vote for this, they announced that they were going to enforce, and they encouraged every other country to enforce.
Because China doesn't want it. Here's China's big fear. Their economy will go to hell in a handbasket if something goes wrong. They're going to have 1.6 billion people staring at them, and they're going to be pissed because they no longer will have those people in their pockets like they do now in a lot of ways. Capitalism came through the back door and has weakened China. How, Chad? They're booming. Yes, but you know what? We've made it now, so they have to depend on capitalism. If they take that away from people, it will be hell on earth, because Tiananmen Square will hold no candle to what will happen. Don't screw with people's money. People have mobility. You can take away some of their freedoms. You can take away a lot of their things in life. When you start screwing with their money and their mobility, guess what? They're going to be pissed. They're going to be angry. China doesn't want 30 million people flying over their border right now. It's the last thing they want. And they sure in the hell don't want a trade war with us or anybody else for that matter, because they can't get this little SOB under control. They're sick and tired of it. The world's looking at them saying, this is your mess. You shielded the regime for years. This is your mess. You better start to clean it up. Here's the thing, like everything that comes in this giant situation that we deal with. What is the end game? What is the end game? What does he want? Well, we know what he wants. He wants everything. Wants the world to treat him with respect. He's that guy that doesn't get any respect. And he doesn't get any respect because he doesn't earn it, because he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve any respect. He's a punk. He's a spoiled little brat. He is. He is. Justin Bieber's far more mature than this guy. And Justin Bieber had a monkey that drove a Ferrari, for God's sakes. This guy's, he wants respect. He wants the world to take notice. And to get rid of nuclear bombs, to get rid of his weapons, to get rid of that makes him irrelevant on the world stage. And he wants to be relevant. He wants to be hip. He wants to be cool. He wants to be able to come to the big table and everybody else has to wait outside, because that's what he wants to be able to do. That's it. He feels that not only does this give him the ticket, right? The Willy Wonka golden ticket. You know what else it does? It also, in his mind, keeps his country not just safe, but keeps his country around. His fear is if we don't have this, at some point in time, the South's going to come and invade all of us, and we're no longer going to exist anymore, or China may envelop us, and we're not going to have anything. So I'm doing this for the betterment of the North Korean people. But there's got to be some end game if we decide to do something and we make a move. And I don't think we will. We're already stretched thin. How many more things? Producer Phil watched The Art of War the other night. If you've never read The Art of War, it's amazing. Sun Tzu's Art of War. Really is. Generals to this day study that book as they should. And we're doing everything wrong that tells you not to do. How many places do we have to open up? That's why I think if anything was to ever happen, we have a sit and wait attitude. Let the rest of the world say, okay, no boots on the ground, light them up, enjoy your life, we're done. That's it. But we don't want to be in another war. We don't want more boots on the ground. We don't want any more of that crap. We can't afford it. We're stretched thin. He understands that, so he makes noise. But he's got to want something.
We tried to ask him, what's your end game? Now that we're doing this, what's your end game? And he has to decide, if he strikes the United States, is that something he can win?
He knows he can't win it. He knows there's no chance in hell he can win it. And he knows the one thing that he screams and I think at times really believes is the keeping North Korea a sovereign nation, keeping their identity. I think he knows that that's it. That all goes away. I do that. There is no North Korea. There's none of that stuff. We may not even get to him first. China may get to him before that. He knows that. He knows if he strikes South Korea, he's done. He knows if he strikes Japan, he's done. If he does anything, he's done. Doesn't mean he can't be a pain in the ass. Doesn't mean he's not going to bitch and moan. Doesn't mean he's not going to throw a fit. Because that's what he does. It's what his dad did. It's what his granddad did. The difference is crazy has grown each generation, and right now we're at the craziest generation. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It is the Chad Benson Show.
There's no turning back now.
What do we got to lose?
You are in it up to your ears.
You dented my boob. You totally dented it.
Literally.
You know who you are.
Boo, man.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Is this a freak show or what?
Stop developing weapons delivery capabilities and the arsenal unless they have some sort of guarantees.
Colonel Jack Jacobs, MSNBC military analyst, talking about that. He's not giving it up. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. It's not. He's not giving up, old Kim, any of that stuff. Apparently on television tonight, they are looking at in North Korea on television tonight, they're reporting the possibilities of an attack on Guam. Because if you're going to get to the heart of America, it's through Guam. I know that. I do. Everybody calm down. Serious. Not going to happen. Not. He knows the end game is the end. But I understand why people are worried. Rhetoric is louder than it's been in a very long time. And unlike other things, he has nuclear weapons and capabilities, but how capable is he really? Case in point, I always scream every operator error in everything they do when they say they're going to fire something somewhere and it lands 12 feet into the ocean and then they celebrate it because it got off the ground 50 feet. It shouldn't be an icy beach. It should be a feats. It's a feats missile. How many feats did it go? 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Brian and Indy, what's happening?
Hey, Chad, how are you?
Doing good, brother.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, Phil, giving me the time to talk about this, man. You know, Kim Jong-un doesn't deserve any respect. He's not Rodney Dangerfield, first of all. But let me give you an example about what Trump was saying about he's crossed the line or he's threatening in a different manner. And I'm a deplorable, and I support my president 100% with whatever he thinks is best for us. The example I'm going to use is Iran and Israel. Because we all know what happened when Barack gave Iran all this money to try to make these nuclear weapons. Iran already probably has the missiles to get to Israel, albeit they don't have to go very far, but they still have the missiles. So they're not testing missiles, but we don't trust them, and neither does Israel. So they're keeping an eye on them, but they got the money to do this. So they rattle their sabers. Yeah, when we get this done, we're gonna bomb that. We're gonna bomb that. But that's all they're doing. They're just talking. Now this Kim Jong Un character, he is provocative. You know, he's provocative. He's loading these missiles on these patrol boats, which could go out and sink anything, any kind of undefended ship, in the waters over there. So he's agitating. And he does know the end game, and we are stretched thin. And as an American, I don't want a war. You know, a limited strike, I'd be totally with. But he is a little bit more aggressive. And Trump is, like you said, it's two bullies in the playground. And I believe Trump will come out on top.
Yeah, I believe so too. I believe so too, Brian. I appreciate your call, brother. Thanks for hanging on. Look, I just don't think anything's going to happen. But you know what? You got to show some strength. And the other thing is too. You know, Trump has had, I've had some issues. He has. And the one time that a lot of people rallied around him is when he struck Syria after the chemical weapons, looking tough at Kim Jong-un, make him a little bump. That's the way he feels. We live in a very visual society, a very perceptive society. Perception is reality for a lot of people. And this may help him a little bit. The truth is this guy has been an annoyance for a long time, and he's going to continue to be so. But people will make this out to be something. We do have to be wary. But I just think the facts are, unless he can never feed his people, which he has trouble doing, although he's done a little bit better job than his father, who really had a massive famine, unless that goes to hell in a handbasket and it just collapses, I just don't foresee it. And don't be surprised if there's not a preemptive strike that comes from someplace not called the U.S. of A. or associated with us. Don't be surprised if China gets involved, because the reality is they don't want anything, and they're looking at, like, we do not want you to derail us. The last thing we need is this midget derailing us. The fact that they led the way in sanctions says a lot at this point in time. And I'm sure behind the scenes, Trump's saying, we're going to give you a trade war and it's going to be ugly. And they don't want that because they know what that comes. What comes with that is a nightmare for their people that potentially could see them fall apart and their government fracture and or eventually civil unrest. And they don't want to be Venezuela. They don't. So China's like, all right, we need to get on this. We do. But don't worry about it. I think it's much to do, at least much ado about nothing at this point in time. I really do. An accident may happen, which will be scary. But at this point in time, I'm not worried. Lots of noise. Been here before. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 sucks and 10 rocks, welcome to Talk Radio's 11. It's the Chad Benson Show.
These go to 11.
So poll up at Chad Benson Show. Trump says fire and fury in response to North Korea and threats. What should we do with North Korea? 28% said nothing. It's just bluster. 28% says more sanctions. 44%. So far that have voted, said preemptive strike. A lot of people are worried about what may take place. Of course, they're carefully examining the opportunity to attack Guam. Strategic there. By the way, I think we have Thad placed there. We've had Thad there since 2004, I believe. Thad's a badass, man. Chip, pretty bad too. Thad, really bad. You don't want to mess with Thad. You don't. You do not want to mess with Thad. Because Thad will kick your ass. That guy's like, Biff, Chip, and Thad. Don't mess with any of them.
Thad will mess you up.
Thad will mess you up. I'm not worried about it. I will sleep well tonight. I do not believe that North Korea is going to preemptively strike Guam. And if they do, they know the end is near. And I do not believe they're going to preemptively strike us. And I don't think we're going to strike them. I think it's lots of bluster over the latest sanctions put on, which are the biggest sanctions. And they're really super uber pissed because Russia and China joined forces in the sanctions voting and said, let's do this. That's why they're pissed. What did we learn today on the Chad Benson Show? First and foremost, I don't think anything's going to happen, but North Korea is all talk that potentially healthcare may do something out of the box, which is have hospitals be the insurance companies that we could bring back Congress at any time from recess, and that sea fleas are gross.
Yeah.
Solid fun show as always. Follow us along at Chad Benson Show, Chad Benson Show, Facebook, like us there. And you can email the show always, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. We'll get you over the hump tomorrow, we promise. For Anthony Phil, my name's Chad Benson. I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.